to me. Thank you, Lord, for this word, the conference. Thank you. We pray that this word becomes our life day by day. We thank you for the priesthood. We're just going to have a short conclusion now of this conference. We've already spoken so much and said so much, and the Lord has touched our hearts on so many points already. But at the end, there's a very important word that I think for the preparation of our Lord's coming is central and important, and that is our love to the Lord. We all know that the Lord is coming soon. And at the first meeting of the conference, we saw so many signs of the times that show that the Lord's coming is at hand. He stands at the door. We saw the time is very short. The time is short. We don't know when the Lord is coming, but we know he is coming very soon, very quickly. In Revelation, it says three times, "I am coming quickly." We can't repeat this meeting, the second meeting, but in the back there is a timeline. Have a look to see how at hand the Lord really is, how near he really is. But the main question isn't how close the Lord is. The main question is, are we prepared for his coming? That's the main issue. Not when he is coming exactly, but what is my condition when he comes? Will I be qualified to rule together, to reign together with him? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, what will happen when the Lord comes back? Here it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Are we aware of this? That we all of us, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ? This verse is not written for unbelievers. This is for all of us. Paul, Peter, James, John, Philip, Andreas, Manu. All of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So the Lord will come with what we deserve for our life here in this time on this earth. Then Paul says, "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Because we know the fear of the Lord. Yeah, in English it says the terror of the Lord. Wow. When Paul thinks about the judgment seat of Christ, he realizes this is a very, very serious matter. It's even a terror for him. When he has to think that he must justify himself for his whole life before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready to do that, Mark? When I think about it, oh Lord Jesus, recently while I was preparing for the conference, in my personal prayer I told the Lord very often, "Lord, what is still in me that I need to clean up before that I don't have to drag it with me before your judgment seat and justify myself before you there? Do you want to justify yourself before the judgment seat, or would you rather have it dealt with today? Today there's still a time of grace." The Lord gives us a wonderful opportunity to come to him, to repent and return to him. In this conference we also heard that the best preparation for the Lord's return is to practice the priestly service. When we learned to serve as priests, and I don't mean like Catholic priests, I mean priests according to the Word of God. I don't mean those who have like the fancy clothes or the ministers who have a nice suit and everyone knows he's the priest, he's the minister. That's not what the kind of priests we're talking about. We're talking about priests according to the Word of God who stand before God, who appear before God and serve Him according to His Word. If we learn that, then we can be prepared for His soon return. That is the best, the only way to prepare. We also saw that there is a consecration of the priest in Leviticus chapter 8. It's a whole chapter about the process the priests must go through in order to qualify themselves to even come near to God. It's a long and almost, you could say, complicated process that they must go through. So many individual details that the priest must go through to consecrate himself before he can come to God. And once he's consecrated, then he doesn't do anything else except serve God. But the question is, what motivates a person, whether you are brother or sister, what motivates somebody to consecrate themselves for priestly service for all eternity? Is it because God commanded it? Is it because we have to do it and don't have any other choice? What is it that compels one to do such a thing? To consecrate themselves for the priestly service? What do you think? The love to the Lord. That is what compels us. The love of the Lord compels us, right? If we love the Lord, if we've touched Him, if we are filled in our hearts with the love of God, then the consecration is not difficult. Then you give yourself willingly, completely. Everyone who really has touched the love of God and is filled with the love of God, is it difficult then to consecrate yourself to Him, to give yourself to Him? And that's what Paul shows in 2 Corinthians 5, when we read about the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 11, he says, because we know the terror of the Lord. But three verses later, in verse 14, we see the real reason why Paul gave himself completely to God. It says, for the love of Christ compels us. What compels us to consecrate ourselves to the Lord? Is it that the terror of Him? The fear of Him? Because otherwise we will land in difficulties? Or is it the love of Christ that compels us? If the love of Christ compels us, we don't have to say many things. Then it's very normal for us to give ourselves to God completely. The love of Christ has so much energy, so much strength, that there's then no problem to give yourself completely to the living God. Look at Mark. Mark Richter. Sometimes I look around, where's Mark? Then I see in Zoom, and he's sitting in Thüringen. Thüringen, it's a state in Germany. What is Mark doing in Thüringen? Isn't it too far to go to Thüringen so often? How many hours does it take you to drive there? 4 hours. It's a 4-hour drive from here. Is there a lot of traffic jams along the way? Yeah. Why? Why do you take that long way upon yourself to drive all the way to Turin? Ah, love, love. The answer was quite quick out of his mouth. Because he visits his fiancée, lives in Turin, so he gets in his car and drives there because he loves his fiancée. Because the power of love is without bound, then you will shy away from nothing, no matter how difficult or how hard. How is it with the Lord? If we love the Lord, are we also willing to give ourselves to Him completely? Paul was one who gave himself completely to the Lord, but what compelled him was the love of God. He was so filled with the Lord that he had no other option. He couldn't do anything differently. And how is it with us? Why are we here today? Are we here today because we're all such wonderful people? Because we're special people, especially intelligent, especially kind. Sebastian is such a wonderful person. And the Lord said, I choose Sebastian for this reason. Is that why we are here? Why did the Lord bring us here? Why did He redeem us? Because He loved us. What compels Christ to choose us is not because we're extra special or have some sort of special skill or have done some sort of special task. Ephesians tells us very clear, He loved us and gave Himself for us. What a difference. What a motivation. The love of the Lord compelled Him to give Himself fully. We read about this woman in Luke 7 to come with her expensive alabaster vessel, her jar, and she broke it for the Lord. Why? Did she do that? What compelled her to do that? Even the disciples said, what a waste. What are you doing? It's so expensive. We should have sold it and given it to the poor. Why did this woman break the alabaster jar and pour out the nard oil for the Lord? Because she loved the Lord with her whole heart. That's what the Lord said later. To him who has been forgiven little, he lives little. So in other words, to him who was forgiven much, he loves much. Isn't that our experience? When we think about how much the Lord has forgiven us, doesn't that compel you to love Him with your whole heart? Everything He did for us? It's not difficult then. There's no question at all that we can pour out everything for Him and go through every step of this priestly consecration. In the consecration, every step is important. But behind it, we see the love of Christ compelling us to go this way. So when the Lord fills our hearts with His love, then there's really no problem. Then we have strength and might to give ourselves completely to Him. That's why there's one part of the consecration of the priests. One portion is for Moses. It's the only portion that Moses receives from this consecration process. And what was his portion? What did he get? The swing offering breast. And he was allowed to eat that. That shows the love of the Lord. No wonder that Moses had so much energy to take care of all the priesthood with everything that they messed up and did. It comes because he had the swing offering breast. Isn't that wonderful? The breast is where your heart is, where the love is. In the Song of Songs, let's read chapter 8. Song of Songs 8, verse 6. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Or does it say the teaching is as strong as death? Your interpretation of the Bible is as strong as death. Have you ever experienced that your knowledge is stronger than death? No, the love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Where does a flame come from on the altar? It must come from our love to him. That is the flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. This is really our experience. If the love of the Lord burns in our hearts, then we don't have to contemplate very much. Do I consecrate myself to the Lord or not? Should I bring an offering to the Lord or not? Why are we bringing offerings to the Lord here, to the Father here on the Lord's Day? Because we have to? Because somebody said, oh, woe is to you if you do not bring your offering. Bayat, if you don't bring your offering, don't you know you must bring your offering? If that's our motivation to bring an offering, I don't know how well that will smell, what kind of fragrance that is for the Father. We bring God offerings because we love him. Because our heart is filled with everything that he has done for us. And then it's not difficult, even at the incense altar, to serve there and to serve at the showbread table. Our true motivation is that we love the Lord with our whole hearts. And Malachi, we have a whole book in the Bible regarding the priesthood. And God was not satisfied with the state of the priests. He was disappointed with how the priests were serving him. But what was the first sentence, the very first sentence that God said to his priests in Malachi in this book? What was the first sentence? I have loved you, says the Lord. That's the first sentence in Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. This shows the true motivation and the power and the strength for the priestly service. It's the same with the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Almost all of them fell. But what was the first sentence that the Lord said to the churches that their problem was? I have against you that you have what? That you have left your first love. Again, the same thing. Like Malachi. So if our heart follows other paths and leaves the first love to the Lord, that is the beginning of the fall. Everything else that comes afterwards, even if we give ourselves outwardly completely and we do this and that and serve here and there, it is worth nothing to the Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, even if I were to give my body to boast, but I have no love, it will be all for nothing. So when the love of the Lord fills our hearts, then the service as priests is not difficult at all. It's not difficult. We won't think, oh, I have to bring another offering again. Oh, it's Tuesday. Oh, time to go to the incense offering. Time to go to the prayer meeting. If that's our experience, then may the Lord really set our hearts on fire again for the Lord. Because then we will jump and skip and be happy that it's finally time to come before the Lord. Even all the way from Kalv, you will come here. Why? Because the love of the Lord burns in you. If our priestly service is just an obligation, just a fulfillment of an obligation, then it is without content, without substance, just like we read in Malachi. But if the Lord has touched our hearts with His love, then there's no question for you to say, Hallelujah, Lord, I love you. I want to come and serve you priestly. Isn't that the way it is? That is the best, most wonderful way to serve our living God. Roland, who told you that you're supposed to delete all the music programs off of your computer? Was it Susanna, your wife? Oh, if you don't do this, I will throw your computer in the trash. Did your wife tell you that? Is that why you deleted them? Oh, okay. Okay, then I will do it. Because we know the terror of Susanna. Yeah, it would be a wonderful help if you have such a wife. We need both, right? We need both. But what was the real reason for you to delete the... If someone else causes you terror, yeah. No, the real reason is because you love the Lord more than your music programs, right? Isn't that the way it is? Andrea? You have to do night shift, day shift. I asked her, when was the last time you slept? Or do you sleep at all? You're always working. What was her answer? I'm still happy to come to the meeting. I'm looking forward to come to the meeting. Why? Is it in your... Is there a law you have to follow? You must come here, and woe to you if you don't come. Gianluca, woe to you if you don't come. Oh, you have to pay €100 fine if you don't come. Do you want to pay a fine? Our heart burns in love for the Lord. Does someone have to force you to come here? Oh, if you don't come, then the terror will come upon you, will fall upon you. No. No, this is not the way to serve the Lord. Is this the way you want to serve the Lord? Maybe you can serve like this at work. That's okay. Oh, if I don't come to work, I'll get fired. All right. But we can't serve the Lord like that. The slave, the law of the slave in the Old Covenant. Every time I read this, I think, what a strange law. What an amazing law. You think, okay, slaves' laws, slaves have to do this and that and this and this. But there's one really special law. It says, if the slave loves his master. That sounds odd, does it not? if the slave loves his master, would you write a law like that? Slaves, slaves, slaves. Well, for the Lord, if the slave loves his master, then he has a wonderful option to serve him forever. Isn't that wonderful? So, do you serve the Lord as a slave, like slaves in the world, unwillingly, being forced? It's another conference and another, oh, I have to serve in the kitchen again, and I have to vacuum again, and I have to serve here. We like kitchen slaves here. Or is your heart full with the love of the Lord? The love of Christ compels me to serve in the kitchen, to serve the Lord, to serve as a priest. That is our true motivation. That doesn't mean that all of the details of the priesthood are unimportant, but behind all of the details is the love of God that compels us. It's not a law or a rule or an obligation. Is it just you? Are you just fulfilling an obligation when you bring food for the Father, or is it a privilege for you to be able to do so? It's a privilege, is it not? Why? Because we know that the Lord loved us first, and we want to love Him back. And not just with any kind of love, but with the first and best love. And if our consecration to the Lord comes out of a place of love, then it will abide forever. If it does not come from a place of love for the Lord, then your consecration will maybe last 3 days, 4 days, and then you stop. Then another love creeps in, distracts you. A love for this age. In this age, there are many things that you can love. But when this love comes into our hearts, when the love of the world and the love of this age that we live in comes into our hearts, it will replace the love to the Lord. Then we won't see you practicing the priestly service anymore. And in the end, you'll be gone altogether. So the love of God compels us that we have come to the conclusion that one died for all, then all died. And if He died for all, that those who should live, live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. We tell the Lord, Lord, fill my heart with Your love. Then it's not a question whether we consecrate ourselves to Him or not. Let's sing Song 130 about the love of God that compels us. Let's sing Song 130.